Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to open them to 1 Corinthians 13. As we move through this summer, we're focusing on the greatest chapter. I've always been intrigued by the story of a pastor who came to his new church, and he was excited to build the church, and he just wanted to infuse people with the Word of God. And so he was excited to be leading this church. The elders were excited to see this new pastor could do to energize the church. And so the first week, he got up into the pulpit, and he opened his Bible, and he read this. He says, "Love one another." And then he stared at the congregation. Long pause. Closed his Bible and sat down. And they sang the final song and went home. The next week, when the time came for the sermon, the pastor got up, walked to the pulpit, opened his Bible, and read, "Love one another." Stared at the congregation, closed his Bible, sat down. This continued week after week for a month, when the elders finally called him into a meeting and said, "You know, you got to come up with more than love one another for a sermon, and we need more than love one another every week." And the pastor looked at him and he said, "Well, when we have this one mastered, I'll move on to another sermon." And I've always been kind of fascinated by that, because truly what God would have us do is not, you know, as James says, don't merely listen to the word, but actually do what it says. And we're good at listening to the word. We're just a little lax in doing what it says. Now, I bring that up because I'm fascinated by 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe that's what Paul is doing. He is lingering. He's saying, you know, that what I want to do is I want to not just give you a love one another and then pop off and leave and go to something else. I want to dissect what it means to love one another, because God knows how important loving one another is. The fact of the matter is, we were created for relationships. And without love, then life is not going to be realized. Without love, then relationships cannot be realized. Without love, life equals zero. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 3 says, is that life without love equals zero. Anything minus love equals zip. And that's why he devoted an entire chapter to define it, so that we could linger there and we could master this most important element of life. In essence, what we're doing all summer is love one another, and then let's go home and do it. Love one another in a different frame, in a different style, with a different nuance. What does it mean to love? What it is and what it isn't. So far, we've seen that love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not rude. That's where we are today. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Now, I wonder if you would agree with me that rude is on the rise in our culture. One article from Wall Street Journal was entitled, "What Happened to Common Courtesy?" Time Magazine did an article, "Whatever Happened to Good Service?" USA Today has an article, "The Decline of Civility and Reviving Common Courtesy." USA News says, "Why People Are Rude and How It Harms Society." The fact of the matter is, rudeness is becoming a common occurrence in American life. If you don't like it, lump it. That's kind of a mantra of our culture. Or mind your own business. Or get out of my way. Rudeness seems to be on the increase. Now, what do you feel is a form of rudeness that irritates you the most? I asked you that in an email. What rudeness irritates you the most? There is scientific evidence of what is the rudest things in the world. John Hopkins University did a poll, a study, to find out what were the top 10 ways that people are rude. It's amazing what people spend money doing. Top 10 ways that people are rude. Number 10 is using cell phones or text messaging in mid-conversation or during an appointment or meeting. Number 9, smoking in non-smoking places or smoking in front of non-smokers without asking. Number 8, misuse of handicap privileges. Number 7, littering, including trash, spitting, pet waste. Number 6, children behaving aggressively or bullying others. 5, how about jokes or remarks that mock another's race, gender, age, disability, sexual preference, or religion? Number 4, treating service providers as inferiors. Number 3, taking credit for somebody else's work. Number 2, erratic or aggressive driving that endangers others. And the number 1 is discrimination in an employment situation. That is just rude. Now, we could add to these. Rude is standing at the checkout counter at Super One, Safeway, Rosauer's, and waiting until the gal says, you owe us $55.47, and then digging in your purse and pulling out your checkbook. That is just downright rude. In an express lane. Downright rude. But I'm sure you have your own, too, that bug you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, love is not rude. The Phillips paraphrase of this verse says, love has good manners. So what is rudeness? Let's define it. It simply is a lack of respect for others. That's the bottom line. Rudeness reveals that I could care less about you. Paul clarifies it. He says, it is not self-seeking. I think that's interesting. He says, love is not rude, semicolon. It is not self-seeking. That's what rudeness is. It is self-seeking. A lack of respect is only thinking of myself. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or whether it hurts you or not. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can summarize rudeness in one word. It is selfishness. And the world is getting more rude because the world is becoming more selfish, self-centered. The Bible says, love is not rude. Now, the remedy for rudeness, we see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, when it says, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone, everybody. Does that mean your kids? Yeah. Your husband, your wife, that jerk at work, people I don't even know, mother-in-laws, Democrats, Republicans, independents, unbelievers, atheists, government. It says everybody. Now, the fact is that Jesus is the model. Think about it. Jesus is the model of respect for everyone. He took time for people. He was the one who refused to turn the children away when the disciples wanted that. But he took time to bless them. He cared what happened to them, and he did not act thoughtlessly. When Jesus went to the house of Simon the Pharisee, and Simon did not provide the amenities that he should have. In fact, that could have been seen as being rude. He didn't provide someone to wash his feet, didn't give him oil to refresh himself, as was the custom that a host would provide to a guest. Jesus was polite, and he refused to shame his host. He showed grace. When the sinful woman came in and broke the protocol by pouring perfume all over his feet, what he did is he cared about her heart, and he would not embarrass her. He honored her. He respected her. When Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, he treated her as an equal, which was remarkable because, number one, she was a woman. And at that time, women weren't seen as equals. And secondly, she was a Samaritan. And yet, Jesus wanted to honor her and love her, and he respected her. When it came to dealing with Thomas, Jesus understood his feelings and his doubts, and he answered them. Jesus was not rude. And in case you need a reason more than the model of Jesus, the Word of God gives us some reasons why we should treat others with respect. The Bible gives them clearly. Let's run through them. And why do people deserve respect? The first, and this is radical stuff. Radical stuff. Light bulbs are going to go off in your head. Why do people deserve respect? Number one, because God made everybody. Duh. God made everybody. Psalm 8 says, you, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. The Bible says that people are the crown of creation. Even the despicable, even the unlovely, even the riffraff, even me. God says, I made you. I made him. I made her. And because we're all created by God, we deserve respect. He deserves respect. She deserves respect. Secondly, the Bible says is that people deserve respect because Jesus died for everybody. 1 Peter chapter 1 says God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Jesus. Folks, this shows how valuable that we are. This shows how valuable people are. The cross shows how valuable God considers people, even your boss. Even that cranky neighbor, even the incorrigible person that lives in your house, even, that's how valuable they are. God thought enough of them to send Jesus to die for them. And thirdly, the Bible says that people deserve respect because it shows when I give respect that I know God. Now, this is an ouch one. It shows that I know God. How do you know if you're a real believer? The Bible says you look at your relationships. 1 John chapter 4 says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he does not know God. If you're not loving and kind, considerate, then it shows that God is not in you. Why? Because God is love. I may have all the doctrines. I may have all the beliefs. I may have all of that straight. All the Bible verses I may have down. But if I don't love, then guess what? It does not count. What matters is how I treat others. Jesus always treated people with dignity, with respect. Even the worst of sinners, if that's the way that Jesus treated people, then if Jesus is really in me, doesn't it make sense that I would treat people like that as well? You may have all the right beliefs, but if you're right and you're rude, you're wrong. If you're right and you're rude, you're wrong. Let's repeat that. If you're right and you're rude, you're wrong. If you're right and you're rude, you're wrong. I could make a song out of that. If you're right and you're rude, you're wrong. Next week, we will sing that as a praise song. Have you ever met anybody that was right and they were rude? Kind of negates it. They're wrong. That's what the Bible says. Jesus always treated people with dignity. And indeed, the fourth reason that the Bible gives us is because I'll get back what I give. I'll get back what I give. Galatians 6, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. If I'm rude to others, guess what? I open the door to others being rude back. And guess what? They will. It's kind of a law of nature. It's a reciprocal law of life. Whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. What goes around comes around. How do I give and get respect? That's what we want to focus on today. How do I give respect and therefore open the door for getting respect? The way that I give is the way that I get, and the way that you get is the way that you give it. The Bible says love is not rude. One of the things about courtesy is that it makes life so much happier and easier. When we're kind and gracious and not rude and we're respectful, it opens the door for happiness. Emerson said, manners are the happy way to do things. Manners are the happy way to do things. Courteous people are happy people. Rude people are never happy people. They are always miserable. They got a big chip on their shoulder. They go around angry all the time. Proverbs 11 says, you do yourself a favor when you are kind. It never pays to be rude. It never gets the intended results. Never. Businesses know this. If somebody is rude to you in a store, guess what? You're not going back. And there are the premier businesses are those that focus on customer service, which is putting respect into action. Why is Nordstrom so successful? They focus on customer service, on respecting the customer. And guess what? It works. Disneyland, Disney World, focus on customer service. So much so that United Airlines goes to be educated by them. And they need that. How to respect people. How do I give it? How do I get it? Well, here's some how-tos that the Bible gives us on how to give respect. And this is so basic and yet so pivotal. I want to look at some ways on how to give and to get respect from others. Situations that we are put in and how we are to react to folks in a loving way that is not rude. Here's the first one. The Bible says when speaking to people, then be tactful and not just truthful. There are some folks that want to focus in on telling the truth, but they do it in a way that is ugly and it's rude and it's wrong. I start with speaking because it's the primary way that we're rude to other people, is it not? Words are so powerful. Words carry power with them. You know, my wife, she wrote me an email. She was asking me for some information. I don't even remember what. But she said, good morning, love. And how hokey is that? And yet, oh, my heart just melted as I read it. I thought, man, that's a powerful little word. But it has the power to move me. Negative words have the power to move me as well and to move you as well. Proverbs chapter 15 says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. What he's talking about here is tact. Tactfulness is thinking before you speak. There's a way that you speak and a way that enhances, makes alive your conversational pattern. You can say the same thing five or six different ways. Is it not true? And it'll be received different ways even though they are the same words. It all is in the way that you say it. If you're going to learn relationships, then the secret of effective relationships, the foundation is tactfulness. If you want to develop good people skills, then develop tactfulness. Learn how to say things the right way. Tactfulness is almost relationship lubrication. It minimizes friction between people. Somebody said, when you use tact, you have less to retract. It's true in my life. Tactfulness. Now, here's some definitions of tact. Tact is when you think before you speak. Here's a big one. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. I like this one. Tact is when somebody tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. That's tact. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about when they probably don't. Tact is changing the subject without changing your mind. If the Bible were to define tact, I'd say it's Ephesians 4, which says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. Proverbs 15 says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. People who say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, are just not speaking truth. Names do hurt, and they hurt worse than sticks and stones. They stick with you longer than the injury of sticks and stones. It may take years for the scars from that to heal. It hurts more when we wound people emotionally than when we do physically. Have you ever met anybody who was proud of their rudeness? You know, they don't say, I'm proud that I'm rude, but they'll say, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. I just tell it like it is, and if they don't like it, tough. Which means I am rude, and I have no tact, and I am not loving. That's what they're really saying. That's not candor. That's just rudeness. That just means that you're insecure and you could care less about people. You are self-seeking, self-absorbed. Before you're frank with anybody, you need to stop and ask yourself, why am I saying this? Am I going to be frank with this person to demean them? Am I going to do this to feel better by putting them down? Or am I trying to build up the relationship? Or am I trying to tear it down? What is my motive? Because my motive determines whether I'm going to be rude and self-seeking. The first is, when speaking to folks, then be tactful. Secondly, when you are served by people, be understanding, not demanding. When you are served by others, be understanding, not demanding. Luke 6 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's a golden rule. Do you want people to be demanding of you? No. Do you want people to be understanding of you? Yes. So you treat other people the way that you want them to be treated. Be understanding, not demanding. Now, here's the question. How do you treat people who serve you? One of the great tests of Christian character is, how do you treat a waitress or a waiter? They say some of the rudest people they know are people who have Bible studies in restaurants. The rudest. People who have Bible studies in restaurants, because they linger forever and they don't leave a tip and they're rude and demanding. Not a very good testimony, is it? Love is not rude. How do you treat your secretary, or how do you treat your employees, or how do you treat that bad fast food person who doesn't speak English? Are you understanding or demanding? How do you treat the people who serve you here? Understanding or demanding? The secret of great service is to treat people with respect, to be considerate to their feelings, to be sympathetic to their stresses. You're dealing with a waitress who may have had 15 cranky people before you, and she's not feeling good. She's had a tough day. She needs understanding. She doesn't need us to be demanding. Be understanding, demanding. Proverbs chapter 16. The wise are known for their understanding, and instruction is appreciated if it's well presented. That's the way that we can have influence in other people's lives. That's the way that we can have influence with our husband or wife or boss or employee. The Bible says the way that you're persuasive is by being pleasant, not by being abrasive, but by being understanding. The best place to practice this is in our homes. Often we're more polite to strangers than we are to the people who we live with. We're more understanding with others than we are with the people that we live with. We're less demanding with others than we are with the people who we live with. Oftentimes we are rude to the people that we live with. Is that not true? I heard about a couple who actually got an annulment on the basis of the husband's rudeness. Evidently his wife went to court and claimed that her husband burped all the time and that it was annoying to her. And the wild thing about it is that the judge granted the annulment on the basis of the fact that if he really loved her and it really annoyed her, that he would try and do something to take care of the burping problem. And he should have been more considerate. We are more rude to folks that we live with oftentimes than we are with others. So when you're served by people, be understanding, not demanding. Thirdly, the Bible says when you disagree with people, be gentle, not judgmental. When you disagree with people, be gentle, not judgmental. As a Christian, there are a lot of things in this world that I disagree with. A lot of things that happen, a lot of lifestyles, behavior. There's a lot that takes place in the world that I disagree with. Am I alone? I don't even agree with everything you do, and you're a Christian. We don't agree with each other. Am I supposed to run around as a personal policeman to try and police unbelievers or people that might be doing things that would be counter to what God would want? Is that my role? Romans tells us what we're supposed to do. Romans chapter 14 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block in another way. Now, two things I need to remember when I disagree with somebody. Whether it's their behavior or their standards or whatever, according to Romans chapter 14. The first is I need to realize that every one of us is going to give an account to God someday. Every one of us. I am going to give an account for me. I'm not going to give an account for you. I'm going to give an account for me as well as you will. And the second thing that Romans 14 drives home is I'm not God. That person is not giving an account to me. He's giving an account to God. I am not God. Remember Saturday Night, you know, for some of you that have some age on you, remember Saturday Night Live when Chevy Chase was on it and he used to do the news and he would start the news every time he says, I'm Chevy Chase and you're not? You know, I like to think of God saying, I'm God and you're not. He needs to keep driving that fact home. I'm God and I'm not. I'm not. That's one of the most important lessons that we'll ever learn. He's God, you're not, love is not rude. James 3 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate. Considerate. That's what James chapter 3 says. It's considerate. If it's really wisdom from God, wisdom from God translates into being considerate. Number four. How about when you're the object of rudeness? When somebody is rude to you, how about you be polite and not responding by being rude yourself? By being rude only fuels the fire. When somebody is rude to me, however, my first response is to want to be rude back to them. Am I the only one? That is my natural response, but it doesn't work. Rudeness never pays, kindness does. Romans 12 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. Broken Bow, Nebraska. A weary truck driver pulls his rig into an all-night truck stop. The waitress just served him when three tough-looking, leather-jacketed motorcyclists, kind of Hell's Angels types, decided to give him a hard time. And not only did they verbally abuse him, one grabbed his hamburger off his plate. Another took a handful of French fries. And another started drinking his coffee. Question, how do you think he responded? He calmly rose, and he picked up his check. He walked to the counter. He put his check and his money on the cash register, and then he went out the door, and the waitress followed him and put the money in the till and stood watching out the door as the big truck turned and drove away in the night. And when he returned, one of the bikers says, not much of a man, is he? And she replied, I don't know about that, but he sure ain't much of a truck driver because he just ran over three motorcycles. That's not a model of what we should do. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. Never pay back evil for evil, even though that's what we want to do. Love is not rude. I want to encourage us to be in a war against rudeness in our own lives. And I struggle with this. Love is not self-seeking. It is not rude. As our world becomes more and more sophisticated, as more and more machines begin to act like people and do people thing, there's a reciprocal thing that people are beginning to act more like machines. And our world is growing more crowded, more stress-produced, and people are becoming more rude. Studies have shown that the more stress that people are under, the more stress their job is, the more rude they become. And with the me generation, there's a value that says do your own thing and forget everybody else. It is just ripe for rudeness. And so I want to challenge us to be kind of on a rude revelation, a polite revelation, a revolution. Let's all work on this together. Love is not rude. It is polite. It is not self-seeking. And what that does is it opens the door for us truly to be people of Jesus, light. As Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. And we do that by loving one another. And love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Let's pray together. Father, this is such a simple message, but it's an area that we all need to work on. I need to work on it, and I'm sure that others here do too. We'll probably be given dozens of opportunities to work on this next week when we have a choice to be either courteous or rude, polite or self-centered. And I pray, Lord, that we would make the choice that Jesus would make. Help us to realize that as we go out this week, that every person we come into contact with is somebody that you created. That every person that we speak to this week is somebody that Jesus died for. That they matter to you, and they need to matter to us as well. Lord, help us to see that it really shows that we're believers, that we really know you by our actions, by the way that we treat others, and that what we give out is what we're going to get back. God, when I speak to other people this week, help me to be tactful, not just truthful. To know the right things to say and when to be quiet. When we're served this week by people, help us to be understanding, not demanding. Help us to realize that it's pleasantness that's persuasive, not rudeness. And Father, when we disagree with people, help us to be gentle, not judgmental, to realize that you're God and we're not. And most of all, Lord, when people are rude to us, help us to respond politely, to overcome evil with good, because we want to do this for Jesus' sake, because we love you. And because we want your love to reside in us, and we want to have impact in other people's lives, and we have impact in other people's lives through love. That's the way hearts are transformed, through love. So Lord, give us that. Supernaturally give us that. Overcome our natural inclinations to love with your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.